As we prepare our hearts and minds for the message, would you please bow with me in a word of focusing silence? Amen. We choose our baptisms. That's kind of ironic that I would say that, because I was 6 weeks old when I was baptized. I had no choice when, where, who. I had no understanding of that baptism. And yet I do. There came a day in my early 20s when I called back to the office of the church where I had been baptized. And I said to them, "Do you still have that record in your books, right? Could you just check and see what was the date?" It was July 3rd. And so July 3rd became my second birthday. And what happened was that I learned how to claim my baptism, in effect, as a full adult, having no memory of my infant baptism. I chose my baptism. And through life, I have chosen what I'm going to be baptized in. Is it just a baptism of water, or is it a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is it a baptism of action? What is it? We choose our baptisms, and this day we remember that it was Jesus who went to the Jordan. And as he was there with John, his cousin, he said to John, "I want you to baptize me." And John said, No, you should baptize me. And Jesus said, "No, this is the way it is." Do you see what Jesus did? All four of the Gospels agree on this. Jesus chose his baptism. He didn't have to be baptized at all. John was baptizing for repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of. Jesus chose his baptism. But now take that one step further. When he came out of that baptism, that was a baptism of water, he went out into the wilderness and went through a baptism of fire, a baptism of hunger, a baptism of drought. He chose his baptism. And then he came back. And basing out of the town of Capernaum, he chose his disciples, and he chose the direction he would go, and he chose the love that he would share, and he chose the healing that he would share. He chose his baptism each and every step of the way. You and I choose our baptisms because we are called from and we are called to. Jesus was called from his normal life. Why is it that he waited until he was almost 30 years old to choose that baptism? We don't know. I certainly don't have a guess. But he chose. He chose what came next. Fascinating. Fascinating. A few years ago, we took a mission team from the Spearfish Church. There were 12 on this team. 8 of them were Black Hills State University students, and 4 of them were adults from around South Dakota. And we went down into the Honduras. We flew into the western coast, we took a bus up to the northern coast, and then we flew on a puddle jumper down to the eastern coast. This is called the Mosquito Coast. Not because of the insect. No. It's called the Mosquito Coast because of the old word that it originated from, musket. It was an old colonial era in an old colonial zone. And in that colonial place, the rule of the day pretty much was the musket. Well, on the Mosquito Coast, It is very, very remote, and as a mission team, we wound up in the town of Puerto Lempira. Puerto Lempira is right on the coast, and Puerto Lempira is on one of the main drug running routes coming up from South America up into Northern America, because we are a country that has a voracious appetite for drugs. And you can say that we're going to shut down the drug trade, but as long as there is this appetite for drugs, that drug trade will never be shut down. And it was incredibly obvious. It was fascinating, fascinating to be in this town. So here we have 8 college students, and as young adults, they are phenomenal in their perception and their ability to understand what is happening. And so we would walk. Puerto Lempira is a town of, I'm guessing, 3,000 to 4,000. It's very, very difficult to tell because the amenities that they have are so different. There are no highways in and out of that town. It's in the middle of the rainforest. The only way to access it is coming in from the air or in from the ocean. And that means it's hard to get building supplies. And as we would walk from where we were staying downtown, the roads were gravel, and the roads were graded about once a year, if that. The potholes were horrendous. And there would be holes in the street. And the sewer system may or may not work. The school system may or may not work. The electrical system may or may not work. The medical system may or may not work. And as you would walk, you would pass these very, very poor houses up on poles, up on stilts, the traditional building technique. And then 2 doors down, you would be next to this huge, gorgeous, modern home. Large, even for our standards. What was that? Well, everybody knew what that was. That was a narco's house. Narco was the term that they used for a drug runner. Because in that community, how are you going to make money? If you need to support your family, well, you can do day labor if you want, or maybe you can make a whole lot more by involving yourself in the drug trade. And those that made it rich were really obvious. One of the things that this meant is that there was a foundation of violence that lay under that community. Are you ready for the link into baptism? That community was baptized not just by the water of Christian faith. They were also baptized in violence. And there were certain people in that town that you did not mess with. And there were certain people in that town that you did not ask questions. Baptized. Well, when we were in Honduras, we stayed at a place that was called Send Hope. One of the reasons that I tell you about this is that Send Hope is our mission of the month in this congregation. And right now, they desperately need assistance. So we would stay at Send Hope, Casa Esperanza. When you walk in, what you notice is that, first of all, you are in a fenced-in quadrangle. When you first walk in, there is the dormitory for where the kids stay. It's their eating space. For some of the kids, it's an orphanage. For others, it's a residential school, and they come in from the surrounding areas. There is a medical and storage building then off to your left as you look across the compound. And this is where there's a dental office. Then when you look to your left, immediately there is an administrative building, and this is where the feeding operation is. At that point in time, they were feeding 200 families. And to the left of that, there's more dormitory space and kitchen space. This time, it's for the mission teams that are coming in. What was amazing to watch was how people chose to be baptized. What did they want to have as the overwhelming effect inside of their lives? That's what baptism is. When we choose what it is that overwhelms us, we choose to let love overwhelm us. We choose to let purpose overwhelm us. We choose to let violence overwhelm us. There are so many things that we take into our lives that become our baptisms. Jesus' baptism was not simply about going under the water with John that day. Jesus' baptism was about how he chose to have the focus for the rest of his life in love and care and service. He was baptized in love and care and service. Interesting. And so we watched in Puerto Lempira, as we watched to see what was that community, what was their baptism. Theirs was a baptism of poverty. Theirs was a baptism of violence. Theirs was a baptism that was very difficult and very different from ours. For many of them, it was a baptism of the drug culture. So then the question is, does everybody choose that baptism? And the answer is absolutely not. There were many within that community who did not. Katrina chose not to be baptized in violence and drug culture. Katrina was the one who ran the school and took care of those kids that were orphans, made sure that there was food on the table. Katrina, in her own life, had been baptized by water, but then later in life, she had been baptized in addiction. And it was when she came down as a lost young adult in her early 20s that she discovered the kids down in that community. She came on a mission team and basically never left. For the next 25 years, she was the one, in the face of violence, in the face of drug culture, in the face of hopelessness, in the face of so much, she dedicated her life and became baptized again, claiming that baptism of her infancy and creating it as a baptism of love and care as she built and cared for those kids. Tom was the dentist. He was not there all the time. He would fly down from Texas 2, 3, 4 times a year. And Tom chose, in the face of violence and drug culture, to baptize himself in dental care, which of course is love, care, compassion, as he would help to make sure that there was medical care. Dr. Marianne was there. Her office was actually across town. She had been baptized in her youngest years by water, but then she had grown up, graduated from college, went to medical school, and she became a heart surgeon, was a heart surgeon in Minnesota. And working inside of that, there came a day when she went down to Puerto Lempira and, in effect, never left. Oh, she doesn't do heart surgery down in Puerto Lempira now. The facilities don't allow anything like that. But she is there to care for those people, to establish schools, to have teachers, to make sure that there is space and discipline and health. She baptized herself in that love. There are others, so many others that I don't know their names of. Whoever is the administrator of the feeding program, whoever was the administrator and the builder of the school right next door. Looking at the needs of the people of Honduras, and saying, now, how do we claim our baptism? Each and every one of these, each and every person that helped establish schools, that helped establish eating programs, that helped establish health programs, that helped establish dental programs, that helped. This is the baptism they have chosen. Now, let me ask you this. What is the baptism that you choose right now? Most of us who come out of a Wesleyan tradition, out of a Methodist tradition, were baptized as infants. We don't have a choice. When you're just a month or 2 or 10 old, your parents bring you and the pastor takes the water and pouring it on your head, baptizes you. Sometimes when I see adults and we enter into this question, they absolutely believe that in order for it to be meaningful that they have to go be baptized again, and I've discovered that's not true. You can do that. I've seen many do that, but the most powerful ones that I've seen are the people who claim their own baptism. July 3rd is my baptism. I claim that day. That day is mine. And on that day, I was claimed and I was changed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that affects my day, my year, my life. I claim my baptism. But what that means is that I have had to claim every other baptism that now comes with it. Do I claim a baptism of truth or a baptism of lies? Do I claim a baptism of hard work or a baptism of laziness? What is it that I claim? What is it that you claim? Inside this week, our nation has been rocked. We have absolutely been set upside down with the continuing raging of the pandemic. Yesterday set the all-time record as we had 4,000 people across our nation die. We hope and we wait for the vaccines to come, but they're not here yet. We baptize ourselves in all that that means inside of our lives. We baptize ourselves in all of the violence that we saw happening in Washington, D.C. And as we were glued to the screen, we watched as the unthinkable became our reality. All right, now, the vaccines are on the way. And today, there's calmness in Washington, D.C., and we walk step by step and day by day. But the question in all of this is, what is the baptism that you will claim today and tomorrow and the day after? Are you going to claim a baptism of violence? Are you going to claim a baptism of greed? Are you going to claim a baptism of impatience? Are you going to claim a baptism of intolerance? Because today it is all too easy for us simply to point a finger and assign blame and to say it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault, it's your fault. That's too easy. Because that's not what we are called to. I love the story from the Gospel of Luke. And there was once a man who had a wonderful, wonderful harvest, and as his staff brought the harvest in, they filled the barns, and he had overflowed. And so one night he said to himself, I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger ones, and then I'll have enough. And then I can relax, and I can kick back, and I can say, ain't life grand? And that night God said, you fool. You think that's what it's all about? I do not want to be that man in today's world. I do not want to be the one who simply sits back and says, I got mine, so sorry, you go get yours. No, somehow, some way, I want to be the one who chooses a different baptism. I want to be the one who claims the baptism that I have been given. And I want to be the one who baptizes myself with involvement and understanding and listening and caring, even with people that I don't understand and are very hard to listen to and that I don't want to care about. I want to be the one who says, I think that the baptism of Jesus Christ is the baptism of Scott. And I think that the baptism of Scott then needs to imitate that. How do you imitate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everyday living? Or are you one of those who say, I need bigger barns, and I'm just going to claim it all myself, and I'm just going to live in my own happy little world because I got mine? No. We are called from everything that the world has to give so that we can be called to life as God intended it. Called from, called to. What does this mean? Sharing. What is it that you have to share? What I want to tell you is, you have something to share with this world. You can make a difference. You do not have to have bigger barns. You're called to share. What is it that you can share? What is it that you have? Immediately, we would think, well, this must be financial. If you have money, then share your money. Well, yes, you need to do that. But it's so much deeper. It's so much more. Do you have care and compassion? Do you have professional training? What is it that you know how to do? Do that and share it with others. What are the family resources that you have? What is the love and the care and the compassion? What is the engagement that you have? You have that. Use it. Share it with others. Share it. This is what we're about. Claiming our baptisms. Remembering that there was a day when the cross was marked on our foreheads. Remembering that there are so many different things and ways that we are baptized. We are called to share that baptism with others. Called from, called to, in order to share. This is the power. It's not about bigger barns. It's about bigger sharing. This week, may it be that you remember where you have been called from and where you are called to in order to make a difference in our church, our community, our nation, our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, I lift up this day and I lift up each heart that is watching today and ask that you would guide them, bless them, that they might share your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.